Accession number 24539, reel 3.
Everything all right, or you know? Oh, there's a lot of that done, I think.
Can you remember the officer's name? The one that was shot?
Not really. Williamson or something like that. But I wouldn't say, I wouldn't be sure.
No.
And he was only a small chap, the officer, the sergeant, and all that. But we were always very curious about them, and they were very thick together. And that was that.
Did you ever go on any burial parties at all?
What?
Any burial parties?
No. That was all done. You never saw, you never heard who was. When any of the chaps had got shot or killed or anything like that in the trenches, you always had these ambulance men come up and take them away. You never saw anything more of them afterwards. You didn't leave your trenches, and other people were ordered to do that. And I never went to any of the one of the burials was we didn't know at the time where the cemeteries were really at the time, you know, until later on there was a cemetery. Perhaps we, when it was got transferred to the engineers of Miss General, you see up the line a bit, we'd perhaps pass a cemetery, you know, where we were in the going moving about. But, once you got stuck in that trench, you stuck there.
What was the food like in the front line?
Well, as you know, just as well to try to get them up, and then it was mostly McConaughey's,
McConaughey's.
And we always had to, whenever we got chance to do, we used to light a little fire and heat them up. But in the front, that's all you lived on. It was only when you came out a bit, you had better food, you know, you had proper cooked food and then plenty of stews and things like that. But when you were up there in the trenches, and you had to be very careful, so not let Jerry know what you were doing. You had go in a small dugout. They had range sometimes. You could heat them up, make a little light, like a candle really, to heat them up, sort of thing. But they used to bring the hot tea in that, and with some rum in it. I never used to care for it in my tea. It seemed to spoil my tea, but we always got rum. In the winter, you know, when it's very cold, they used to put rum in the tea. But we didn't do too badly considering all things, you know. Some days you got fed up to the teeth, you couldn't do anything, you got to stop there and just wait and wait. And sometimes you waited too long. Some of the poor blighters.
What were the arrangements for toilets in the trenches?
Well, we used to, what it was, when you would have a big trench made some distance, just outside, a little far away, you know, and just probably a tin roof on there, and you'd sit on the bars and perhaps the canvas there, perhaps in the back there, and just you'd sit on these two bars, and they are, it was down the deep hole, you see. Just the trench has been made, you see.
But, could you go to the toilet whenever you wanted, or did you have to have permission?
Well, it all depend on how things were at the time, you know, in the trenches. You'd always have to report to the sergeant who was in charge, you know. Oh, yes, as long as he knew where you were, because it wasn't all that. The Lewis has got a one very far away, and of course in the camps it was different, you know. Yeah. Mm. properly made and that sort of thing. But that was only because it was more discomfort than anything else, you know.
How about lice?
Oh dear, don't mention those. And the rats, good heavens, you see them like young cats. Oh dear, what we used to do, turn your trousers for bugs, and they always got in the seam, you see. We used to light a match or a candle and let it go up the sleeve on the inside, you know, and burn them. It's the only way we could keep them down, the fleas and otherwise, I was going to say, it could have been a lot worse, we know. But it was a spirit with all of us, you know, we were all in the same boat and we helped each other along and still pally with everybody. It didn't matter, perhaps you'd hate them one day and you were all right when you were in the trenches. So, you know, they were a good crowd. We had quite a lot of Welshmen there too. And we had a good crowd from Manchester in our lot. They were very decent. I remember one night, one day we came out, trenches, we were done our fortnight, I think it was, something like that. As I say, this, let's see, what do you call these big houses in there?
Chateaus.
Chateaus, I say, you've got it. My brain's going past. And we said, and we sang down and they got to made the cellars into a sing-song. We'd had a real and had a sing-song sound there. There was a couple of good chaps from Manchester, very good singers there. And I had an old piano there, it didn't half rattle, but it helped to tune some. You had to smoke and that before you went to bed. But,
can you remember the date that you were wounded?
Not the exact date. It would be towards the end of November or the beginning of the December.
What year?
That 1915. And they came and they wouldn't operate. Yes, it was at the shoulders. They wouldn't operate on me. And I was operated on in January for my rupture, and hurt my leg as well, and ruptured. And I had this doctor, young Dr. Paul from Guy's Hospital, he came down from London, and made a good job of it. And yes, they said it wouldn't do anything, because the operation on the rupture, and that wouldn't make any difference much to me, because they wouldn't let me walk about or anything, you know, they were very good to you in those days. And I couldn't go about, because I was wrapped up, you know, tied up more or less with shoulders. And we had some very young and nice nurses at Bromley there, volunteers, you know. Oh, we did very well there. I'd done my job, I'm glad I went, and I'm glad I'd get back home. But I hadn't much time for these people that said, you know, pretending it was a religion. Well, if it had been a religion, they should have been defending the country, in my view.
Did you ever hear of anyone being shot for desertion or cowardice?
No. I did hear one or two cases where they've been accidentally shot purposely by probably some troops who've got a gadget about against an officer or something, you know, yeah. Once or twice, but. Now, and I don't think there was any of the troops themselves who were actually caught red-handed doing anything they shouldn't have done or anything sent away or shot or anything. There was a case after the First World War, there wasn't there? There was one, I think it was more or less on the spy business, but I don't think there was many troops. They written occasionally one or two troops. But I personally think they should never have been shot. If they'd done their certain amount of time in the trenches, if they'd been over the top and things like that, because their nerves after a bit must have been going to do things to be, and then, and in most cases I think it was because they, I don't say they refused to go to back into the trenches or do what they were told to do. It was just a question that their nerves had gone. And they should never have been shot for that. It's all right for these people down battalion headquarters or battalion headquarters, not too bad, but the army headquarters and those places. You know, they never saw the line. If it wasn't for their army company or battalion commanders, we wouldn't have seen many of the officers of the army or the headquarters or anything. They never came near us. Now, when I look back, I think, well, I was damn lucky to come through as I did, and there was nothing more to be said about it, you know. Some of the poor beggars did have a bad time. But that was it.